1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. This is the word of the Lord. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Amen. So we return this morning as we confess our sins to the description of the qualities of love here in 1 Corinthians 13. Last time we were in this passage, we talked about the phrase, love is patient, or in this translation, love suffers long. And that is a description of how love is very durable. It can put up with quite a bit. It's designed to pass the test of much suffering. And here, as we move to the next phrase, it says, love is kind. So if you think of love suffering long as sort of the passive side of love, where we deal with, we bear up with, we are patient with those that may sin against us, this here describes that love is to be active. Love is to be showing kindness to one another. And when we think of the word kind, we might think of the word a bit too weakly, a bit too simplistically, particularly if we think of the word kindness as just being nice. So the word nice is kind of a weak word in English, I think. We usually use the word nice to describe somebody that they're not too loud. They're pretty easy to be around. They don't get angry. They're fairly laid-back people. They're nice. But what is being described here by Paul is much greater than that. It's much more than just being nice. This word could also be translated good. In fact, sometimes this word is translated as goodness in the New Testament. Kindness or goodness. Both translations would be equally appropriate here. And goodness means to show goodness to others, to do good to others. It's a very active idea here. It's not even specifically an emotion. It is an action that is being described. Love shows kindness. Love does good to one another. So it's a very strong word. It is love in action. And naturally, we find it easy to show kindness and to do goodness to those that do the same to us. Jesus said that a number of times to his disciples. He said, of course, the Gentiles do the same thing. Those that like them, they like back and they do kind things to them. But he says, you're called to something much greater. You are called to love your enemies. You are called to show kindness to those who have shown the opposite to you. And in doing that, we become like our Father in heaven. Matthew 5, he says, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of the Father in heaven, for he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. That is what we are called to do, is to show kindness to all without exception, without discrimination as to how they've treated us, but to show good, to do good to all. And another description of this is Romans 15, verse 2, where Paul tells us, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. And so let's think about how we can show kindness to one another in the context of the home and in the context of the church specifically. It has application to every aspect of our life, but we'll focus in on those this morning. The context of the home is an incredible opportunity to show goodness and kindness to one another. And why is that? Because you have hours and hours together, particularly when moms are at home and when there's homeschooling going on. There's particularly a lot of hours that are spent together in the context of the home. And where there are a lot of hours, there are a lot of opportunities. And even the most mundane household activities are an opportunity, an arena to show kindness and to do good to one another. The most basic duties are a way to love one another. We all have to do the basic things of taking out the trash, mowing the lawn, picking up socks, doing laundry, cleaning floors. These are an opportunity to do good and to show kindness. And so we need to see the opportunities that are before us. One of the things about the household is that it becomes a status quo. We sort of have the way that we operate. But ask yourself, is our household growing in kindness? Is there more good being done for one another than there was a year ago or a month ago? Do we see this growth of the Spirit in our home? It takes some intentionality often for us to do this, to break out of the status quo and to show additional acts of goodness to one another. Now, husbands, as you're driving home from work, do you take time to pray, Father in heaven, I pray that you would show me how I can do good to my family today. When I get home, I want my focus to be, what can I do that would lead to the edification of my wife and my children? This is the prayerful intentionality that we need to have when we consider how we can do good. When we come home from work, our first focus should not be how can I satisfy myself, but how can I do good to those that the Lord has entrusted to my care. Sometimes it takes a very simple form to show that kindness. It can be picking up the clothes off the floor. Perhaps it takes the form of praying with one another. Wives praying with their husbands, husbands praying with their wives, fathers praying with their children. Perhaps it takes the form of a father or a mother who will take an extra 30 minutes to an hour with one child to simply love them, to show kindness to them in their time of need, rather than passing over their needs at that point in time. So the home is a great opportunity, a great place for us to show goodness to one another. Now, it's also the case that we find this in the church. There may be less hours at times when it comes to gatherings of the church than we have in the home, but we have many opportunities to show good to one another. And again, it takes prayerful intentionality. That's my experience, is that I need to pray about these things, and then I need to think about these things and to plan for these things. Otherwise, they often don't happen because sometimes I can be too self-centered, and I'm sure you can relate to me in that. There's so many ways we can do this. I can't tell you the exact way you need to. May the Spirit lead you in the particular opportunity you have before you. But there's a couple of ways. We can show kindness by affirming and encouraging one another. Do not underestimate the power of your words to do good, to build up your brother and sister. Just like they can tear down your brother and sister very quickly, they can also build up. They can strengthen when they are words of truth and kindness. We can show kindness by sharing the words of Scripture. Perhaps you don't have anything else to say, but the Word of God does have something to say to our brothers and sisters. Read the Word to one another. Let us be a deliverer of God's good news found in the Scriptures in showing kindness. And of course, we can show kindness by serving our brother or sister in need. And if you can't think of what to do in that area, as our brother Todd has said, come talk to the pastors and the elders. We love to plug you in to opportunities to serve your brothers and sisters, because there are always ways that we can do this. There's thousands of opportunities that may yet remain untapped for us to show kindness. We can never complain that there is not an opportunity to apply this commandment. So my friends, we see in 1 Corinthians 13 that love is kind, and we are a people that have been abundantly shown kindness by our loving Heavenly Father. We have received such kindness and goodness. As we see described in Titus 3, it describes what we were like before Christ came into our hearts. And it says in Titus 3, verse 3, "For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." This, my friends, is the kindness that we have received as God's people. what kindness we have received, and may we also seek to show that kindness to one another that we also have received. And so as we confess our sins this morning, I remind you that if you have come to Christ by faith, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He cleanses all of our sins. He washes them away. And so as you confess this morning your sins from this past week, whether it is a lack of kindness or whether it is something else, know that He receives you through His Son, and the Father will forgive you, cleanse you of all unrighteousness, and grant you His Holy Spirit to those who ask. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give thanks for your kindness and goodness poured out upon this church. You have saved us, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to your mercy. And in saving us, you've called us to be your holy people. You have called us to be a loving people. And we desire that these qualities of love would be reflected in our actions towards one another. We desire households where love flourishes. We desire a church where love flourishes. And where we are a people that show kindness and do good to one another. We ask, Father, for your forgiveness for when we have failed to do this, when we have thought first about ourselves, when we have been unkind with our words. We ask, Lord, that you would, by the work of the Spirit, create this in us. And now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord.